Today is Sunday, June the 14th, 2020. And if you would turn to Psalm 23, we were there last week. We're going to, this morning, consider God leading, guiding, and directing us. And I realize that's a huge topic. But my goal this morning is that, first of all, we see that we can be absolutely certain that God can and will lead us, guide us, and direct our steps. And secondly, that we will have more confidence to watch for and expect His guidance for us. So that's what I'm praying that we get from this morning. Psalm 23, when we were going through that last week, this one verse in verse 3, it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God leads us. His leading. You know, this is, there's the phrase, lead me, this says leadeth me, but the phrase lead me comes up at least 11 times in the book of Psalms, where it's asking God, where you see the phrase lead me. A number of times in talking about God rescuing the children of Israel from Egypt, the Bible uses the word lead. He led them out. He led them through. In fact, it says, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So many references to that rescue from Egypt about him leading him. But hundreds of years before that, when Abraham sent his son to find a wife for Isaac? The servant said twice, it shows in the Bible, that it was the Lord who led him to that family. So you ask yourself, well, how exactly did the Lord lead him? You know what? It doesn't say. We need to keep in mind, as we look at this morning, that God Almighty can and does give information however He chooses to do so. He's not limited. Whether it's a pillar of a cloud or sometimes we say the still small voice, right? You've heard that. I think that comes from Elijah when he was going through. Elijah was going through a really difficult time. King Ahab was taking God's people away from the one true God. Idolatry was everywhere. Elijah, he was a wanted man, number one most wanted in the country. And Elijah just felt like giving up. I'm done. I'm done with all this, okay? I've had it. It's all I can take. I'm done. You can read in 1 Kings 19 during part of this time. It says, And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And if you keep reading there in 1 Kings 19, you'll see that God then gave Elijah the revelation, information of what to do. God led him, God guided him, and God directed his steps. So God can and he does give information however he chooses to do so. You know, we can read where at times they saw a vision, other times heard a voice. How about handwriting on a wall? Angel messengers, even a talking jackass. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, we don't travel with donkeys, but you know, we have dogs. And can you imagine your dog talking to you someday? There's one point where all the children of Israel at the same time heard the voice of God Almighty speak the Ten Commandments to them. Can you imagine that? God can and does give information however he chooses to do so. Most of the time in the Old Testament, he gave information by way of the Spirit to those he had given the Spirit to. and we refer to that many times as the revelation manifestations. This morning I'd like to look at an Old Testament record and then a New Testament record. So if you would please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Samuel King's Chronicles. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Jehoshaphat is king of Judah, two southern tribes. So they're going to come to attack him. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazah Tamar, which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Troubles at the doorstep, and he wants to get God's help. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. God, we need your help. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, and here's his prayer. Isn't it great that God lets us see what some people prayed? It's really wonderful. O Lord God of our fathers, art not you God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I love the way his prayer starts. It reminds me when they said to Jesus, they said, "Teach us how to pray." And Jesus said, "Well, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, Jesus said, why don't you start your prayer by giving a little praise and recognition to who God is, which is just what he did. Verse 7, art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for your namesake, saying, if, when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, if we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and if we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. So that's who you are, God. So now we have a problem here. Verse 10. So here's our problem. And now look at this. Behold, the children of Ammon and of Moab and Mount Seir, whom you wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Look, check this out, God. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. And look at this. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Ever felt like that? God, I just don't know what to do. I'm faced with this thing. I don't know what to do. Well, then continue. But my eyes are upon you, looking to God. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Everybody was there together. It was kind of a big prayer meeting, huh? Then upon Jehaziel, and he was the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. This is Jehaziel. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." In other words, he is speaking the words that God gave him by way of the Spirit. First thing, be not afraid. Boy, how many times does that come up in the Bible? Hundreds of times. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, you know where they're going to come? They're going to come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness, Jeruel. Wow, there's some good reconnaissance. Boy, that's better than satellites, drones, and look, let me tell you where they're going to be tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, here's some more information. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Okay, go there, but you're not going to need to fight. Set yourselves, but stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Second time, don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's from New Testament. I just threw that in there. All right, verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Great reverence for what words came to him from God Almighty by way of the Spirit that was given to Jehaziel. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, look what he said as they went out, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." And he said, "Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Prophets speak for God. When the prophet speaks God's word, believe that. Believe God. Believe his words. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Or your center reference might say they smote each other. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. All these people coming to hurt God's people just wiped themselves out. Wow. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were all dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, the spoils of war, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And then on the fourth day, when their work was done, after bringing home all the booty, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. That word means blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. That's a really wonderful record, isn't it? What a humble prayer, King Jehoshaphat, asking for God's help, asking for, you know, leading, guiding, directing. And God gave them specifics of what they needed to know and what to do. And then King Jehoshaphat told them, believe God's message. It's a wonderful record of God leading, guiding, and directing. Now let's look at one in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 16. God's leading, guiding, and directing. In Acts chapter 16. You know, the Apostle Paul went to a lot of places. He traveled here, then went there, then went here, then went there. Just, oh my gosh. I'd like to try to figure out sometime how many miles all total that he traveled when he was traveling. I bet it was a lot. But we're going to start in verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Whoa, hang on a second here. What is this? Forbidden? They were forbidden by God to speak, to go preach the word in Asia? God's saying, don't go there. That's leading, guiding, and directing, wouldn't you say? I mean, Paul was like, when you read the book of Acts, he'd go anywhere, speak to anybody, didn't matter, right? Here, let's go over here, let's go there. Apparently, he wanted to go into Asia, and God said, no, don't. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. All right, let's go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Paul said, okay, fine, let's, we're headed to Bithynia, guys. That's where we're headed. God went, nope, no, you're not. Don't go there, don't go there. After, and they passing by Mysia came to Troas. Look at this, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, Macedonia, northern part of Greece. Achaia is the southern part of Greece. So he gets this vision. And he knows it's Macedonia he's supposed to go to because that's what the guy said. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us. Oh my gosh. Help. Help, help, help. Our country needs help. It's the word of God that brings help. The word of God that brings deliverance. But look at this. You talk about leading, guiding, and directing. Paul wanted to go here. Nope, don't go there. Okay, we're going here. Nope, don't go there. And he gets a vision. Come here to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. They were absolutely convinced. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day, Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city. Actually, it's a chief city. It wasn't the chief city, but a chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. It was a Roman colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. You know, the moment Paul got there, it wasn't like there's 50 people. Wait, hi, we're ready to hear God's word. He gets there and, you know, he's brand new to town. He's walking around there certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Must have heard about this little prayer meeting that was going on. Some ladies had a prayer meeting out there by the river. We sat down, we spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What did he speak to her but God's word? The light of God's word. Deliverance. You know, he could have said, yeah, I'm a traveler. Yeah, I travel a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I've been on boats. Been on camels. I've traveled to this city and that city. Nice to meet you, Lydia. Well, I don't think God would have opened her heart. Right, with that, the Lord opened, whose heart the Lord opened that she intended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, she got born again, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So she said, look, you guys stay with me. Come on, I got room. No problem. So again, this with Paul is revelation, information from God to Paul, leading, guiding, directing. And it's more than obvious in this record that just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's the right thought, even if you are the great apostle Paul. Right? They want to go to Asia. Nope. All right, fine. Then we're going to go to Bithynia. Nope. It's also obvious just because you have a thought doesn't mean God put this on my heart. You guys, we're going to Asia because God really put this on my heart. Even if you're the great apostle Paul. You know? It, since the day of Pentecost, is God still giving information to people like Paul or Peter? Well, the question would be, since the day of Pentecost, is God only giving information to people like Peter or Paul? The Bible says every born-again believer has the Spirit of God. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us. If you back up to chapter 9, you remember Paul was kind of a bad dude before he got born again and saved. He's out killing Christians, pretty bad. And in verse 10 of Acts 9, there was a certain, Paul's on his way to Damascus to take out more Christians. And there was a certain disciple, Acts 9:10, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias, he said, yep, I'm right here. Yes, Lord, what's going on? The Lord said unto him, get up, go into the street which is called Straight. You go over to Straight Street, inquire in the house of Judas. That's some pretty specific information, isn't it? Go to Judas's house over on Straight Street. You know where Straight Street is? Yeah. You know, it's right past Center Avenue, wherever it was. The house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. He's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias goes, oh, wait a second. Lord, I've heard by many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And you know what? We know that he's coming here with authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. The Lord said unto him, you get going. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto you in the way as you came has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Back in verse 10, it says there was a certain disciple. Doesn't say he was an apostle, a prophet, a bishop, a deacon, a certain disciple. In fact, we don't even read about him anymore. That's it. The point is, God giving information is not limited to an Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter. Throughout the Bible, over and over, we see God giving information, leading, guiding, and directing steps. The question is, are we convinced that he is still God and that he will lead us, guide us, direct our steps? If he doesn't do that, then why are there so many prayers asking for his help, asking to lead me, teach me, show me, guide me, direct my steps? Remember what Jesus said? When the Spirit comes, it will guide you. I told you that phrase, lead me, 11 times in just the book of Psalms. The phrase, teach me, 14 times in just the book of Psalms. Guide me, 5 times in just the book of Psalms. Psalm 25 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. I'd like to just read those 11 verses from the book of Psalms. We're not going to turn to them. I'd just like you to listen to them because I think it'll bless you to just hear them rather than turn and read, turn and then read. I'll just read them to you from Psalm 5. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. From 25, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. From 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. From 31, for you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. From 43, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. From 60, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? 61, from the end of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 108, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? 139, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. From 143, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You see, there should be no question that God can and he does give information to lead, to guide, and to direct. And that's why I love that verse in Psalm 23 that we started with. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God will lead us. He will show us the way to go. The Bible says he's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The Bible says God is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you lack wisdom, what's the Bible say? Ask of God, who gives it liberally. God will lead us in the paths of righteousness, and he does this for his name's sake. He will lead us regarding our personal life, no matter what's going on. And so we ask him, lead me, guide me, show me, teach me. What do I need to know? You know, whatever it is we're dealing with, can we not ask him? God, I need information. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I fix this? How do I do? For born again ones, God has given us his spirit. God is at work in you. And 1 Corinthians says the manifestation of the spirit is given to every man and woman. And three of those manifestations, we refer to them sometimes as the revelation manifestations: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So, if we really believe that he can and that he still does, if we really believe that, then shouldn't we be expecting to hear from him? You know, I was thinking about, if you are a parent, if you raised kids, and if you didn't, then somebody raised you. But, you know, a parent be talking to the child and go, are you listening to me? You're not listening, are you? Put that down and look at me. I'm talking to you. Look at me. Listen. Listen what I'm saying, right? And I bring that up because we live in such a noisy world. I mean, it used to be maybe the radio might be on or TV, but now internet, voicemail, notifications on your phone every 10 minutes, boop, 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 all of that going on. It's like the only time it's quiet is when we're asleep. Have you ever been expecting a really important letter in the mail? Or how about expecting a very important email? If you're expecting something important, don't you check the mailbox? Did that come yet? I got to check my email because that thing was supposed to come. You just checked it 5 minutes ago. I know, but it could have come in the last 5 minutes. I got to check. Oh, my goodness. I want to close in Ephesians chapter 6. I thought this verse would be appropriate to close with. What a good God we have. What a loving, kind God we have. Ephesians 6 says, in verse 18, this is part of the armor of God. We've looked at this before a number of weeks ago, but I wanted to point this out in verse 18, 6:18 of Ephesians. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching, watching. We don't pray just for the fun of it. We don't pray just because, well, I'm supposed to pray. Not that I ever get an answer, but all right, I'll pray again. I mean, what did Jesus Christ teach? Men ought to always pray and not faint. Persevere in prayer. Praying always. We stay at it. I know, I asked God for this and I never got an answer. Really? So now you're done? Two things to remember, very important things concerning this topic. First of all, don't allow yourself to think you're not good enough for God to lead, guide, and direct your steps. Well, you know, I haven't prayed enough. I mean, I'm not that strong of a believer anyway. I don't really know a whole lot of Bible verses. What? Are you saying you're unworthy? Are you saying you don't deserve? It's a great trick from the adversary, our enemy, because God's word says you are his child. He put his Spirit in you. He said in his word, he's at work within you to will and do. He said the manifestation is given to all of us. Don't allow yourself to think you're not good enough, unworthy, or, oh, God will never talk to me. That's from the enemy. That's a trick. And secondly, above all else, believe the information God's already given you in his written word. The written word is revelation from God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's revelation. We open this book and we look at it. You know, last night when I was teaching at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and video conferencing there, you know, I told them, I said, I don't read my Bible because I'm supposed to. Oh my gosh, I'm a Christian. I better read my Bible every day. Oh goodness, I'm an ordained minister. I guess I better read a lot of Bible every day. I don't read the Bible because I have to. I read the Bible because it's God speaking to me. It's the word of God. It's God's words. So number two, above all else, believe the information God's already given you in his written word. Those words are revelation from God. I always remember an example I heard somebody say once in a teaching. If I gave you a list to go to the grocery store and pick up a few things, and there's 9 items on it. I wrote them down, bananas, apples, whatever. And you came back with 7. And I'm like, where are the bananas and apples? Oh, shoot, really? Sorry about that. Okay. But do you think I would ever want to give you an audible grocery list? Hey, would you go pick up these things for? No. Maybe I'll write it down a little bigger. Do you get the point? We've got to believe what's already been given to us. Believe what God has already told you in his written word. Place his written words in your highest esteem. In conclusion, I want to say that God said, you know, this isn't like a pipe dream. Boy, it sure would be nice. No, God said that he will lead, guide, and direct. He said that he would. Expect that he will lead, guide, and direct. And he will do this however he chooses. Never limit him. I hope that this has been helpful in seeing that we can absolutely be convinced from seeing what we saw in God's word that God can and will lead us, guide us, and direct our steps. And I also hope that's been helpful, that it gives you more confidence to watch for and expect his guidance, and maybe even more confidence to keep asking. Keep asking and then expecting, looking for his answer. So, Almighty God, our good, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, you reveal so much in your word that it just it's Father, it's so humbling to see how much you love us, want to help us, and have provided for us. And Father, may we not get discouraged when we're going through difficult times, because Father, we can read in your word great, wonderful men and women that went through some tough times, but you always provide. Father, may we continue to look to you, to ask you, and to expect your leading, your guiding, and directing our steps. We ask you, Father, for the help that we need. And we ask you, Father, to help us to help others with the love of God and with your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sharing this morning. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for being a part of this fellowship this morning. And we're going to be back again next Sunday. Feel free to give the information to anybody you think might be blessed to join us. So I'm going to unmute and say, God bless you all.